genuine in use and desperate for work.
Yeah.
Hi, I noticed that you were an author. Can you tell me about your inspiration? I'm like, of course I can, of course.
Wanting to drink and nagging and get the shift, and that isn't that the purest thing an Irish child can do? Hello everybody, and welcome to your Chaser episode of A Few Scoops. This week we've decided to tackle scams and scam calls. I'm going to give you a wee bit of history. This was the first thing I actually looked up. Why is it called a scam? And it originates from carnival people in America in the 1960s. And it was used, the word or phrase was used to fleece the public. But people also think it comes from the British slang word for scamp. So that's where scam comes from. The reason we have chosen it is because a lot of people in the Republic of Ireland have had an influx, myself included, of UK phone numbers with the prefix +44 in recent months phone in. So my experience is it's a +44 number. I have to answer +44 numbers because
I don't, but you really do.
I really do. So a lot of my, all of my family, apart from me, have +44 numbers, as well as I do a lot of work for the BBC and I get a lot of calls from unknown numbers all the time.
Plus self-employed anxiety.
You have to answer.
It might be a job. Yeah. Like when the 023, like Chad, Niger, all of those, even though they were like 00223 or whatever, I would be, that looks a little bit like a Clonakilty number, 023. So I would answer all of those as well because it might be a job.
Yeah.
And you're very...
Pa from Chad.
Yes.
It's calling.
It reminded me of the most, like, so tempted to reply to a scam Facebook message was not like, oh, we've loads of money and we want to give it to you. It was somebody saying, hi, I noticed that you were an author. Can you tell me about your inspiration? I'm like, of course I can, of course. Here, like, let me just give you my account number and then can we chat about my inspirations behind being an author?
So I have had to answer a number of them. And what usually happens is when I answer, I'll say hello. And there's like a pre-recorded message. And all of mine have been a woman who sounds quite young. I would say early 20s. It's very muffled. And she says something about, she's calling about a job. I think it's for Indeed, you know, that job application site. Yeah. But we are apparently not the only ones. People across the Republic have had a huge influx. Comreg have said that they have blocked 18 million calls in September 2025 alone, and they are advising phone users to remain vigilant. So the reason that we have to remain vigilant is because this is a scam. So scammers will use the software to call or text a range of numbers at the same time and then note which ones are answered. So I'm doing the wrong thing. I shouldn't even be answering.
I know, yeah.
Answered numbers are recorded as genuine in-use numbers and then they may be sold on the internet to other cyber criminals.
Genuine in-use.
So I'm just, my number is everywhere at this stage.
Genuine in-use and desperate for work.
Yeah.
Because if you answer, also, if you answer it in a business-like fashion, like if you answer kind of hungover.
I answer the phone and I say, hello, Aoife speaking.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, we're going to get her bank details. Whereas if you answer going, then they're like, oh, this person's a slug.
So all advisors say the best thing to do is not to engage. They say that scammers build a campaign pretending to be a bank, revenue, and post, potentially using a mass number, meaning their calls are not actually coming from the UK. They're masking the calls, but people are more likely to answer the call if it's +44 rather than, you said, from like Chad, or I used to get ones from Brussels as well for some reason. Yeah. And because I used to work in Brussels, I also answered those calls. If a scammer sends out enough scam calls or texts, someone will believe it. They'll click on the link and give something away, whether it's financial or personal data, and that's what the scammer wants. Experts advise to block the number, report it to the network, and never call the number back. He said, always have a zero trust attitude and ask yourself if it makes sense. Do you know what happened to me once? I got a text message from Bank of Ireland and it came up.
Yeah, same here.
Bank of Ireland. And there was a link asking me to re-log in. And when I clicked on the link, it took me to the Bank of Ireland, or what I thought was the Bank of Ireland website. And I logged in with my internet banking details. And as soon as I done it, I was like, I don't think I should have done that. I phoned Bank of Ireland and they were like, this is a really sophisticated scam. They had basically dummied the whole Bank of Ireland website.
Yeah.
So when I clicked on it, it looked exactly the same and worked exactly the same. And I cancelled my card and changed my internet details. But I was like, I'm really, to the man on the phone, who was very helpful. But I was like, I'm really sorry. I should know better than this. And he was like, you would not believe the amount of doctors and surgeons and very smart
but
people
also,
who've been caught.
The sneakiest bit of that, I don't know whether it was the same in your case because I got a similar one, is that the text arrives in the same chat.
Yes,
as
the Bank of Ireland
Bank
text.
Of Ireland thing. Yeah. That's probably, that's like saying you can't trust your mother either. Like it's that level of vigilance you require.
This is now, you know, as technology gets more sophisticated, so will the scams. And I had a look because I was thinking of like the first scam that I had ever heard of. And everyone, I think, would know is the Nigerian Prince scam. Do you remember this?
The 419.
Is it 419?
419, I think it's named.
419 fraud. Yeah.
Named after the part of the Nigerian legal code that it's breaking the law of.
So as Nigeria gained independence and its emergence in the world, and coupled with economic challenges, it created fertile ground for these scams and it became a sensational narrative in Western media. So what you would find is that this person, it was when email was just becoming a thing as well. So this person would email and say, my name is David and I am a part of the royal family in Nigeria and I have all of this money frozen in a bank. And I need a trusted outsider to help transfer this money. And but once I get it transferred, I'll offer you a percentage of this money. And then the victim is asked to send like a small fee, so for, usually for like legal costs or whatever. And then the money is gone and the person disappears.
Yeah. And it plays on what they know are our assumptions of West Africa, that it will be coup ridden, that there will be...
It used its own history against them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, it plays on our willing, our delight at being chosen, because then that puts us in the same bracket as, like, you know, I don't like kleptocrats normally until they invite me to their parties.
Exactly, yeah.
And maybe they'll bring me to Monaco as well. You know, we're so human. We're so playable.
And I would say I've done a lot of work on romance scams and catfishing. And the issue is with that, and I think the most kind of insidious thing is, like when I spoke to Gardaí, you can actually watch my documentary on RT Player called Fools for Love. But the Gardaí said that romance scam is the biggest scam that they deal with now. So catfishing, love bombing. And he said, the Garda said to me that the issue they have is because romance scam preys on people's vulnerability and their good naturedness, that people don't want to come forward and report the crime when it's happened.
Yeah.
So it's harder for the Gardaí to investigate and then prosecute because people don't want to talk about it because they're so embarrassed that it happened in the first place. Yeah. But I would really like people to know you are not alone. This has happened to me. It's happened to Colin. Yeah. You know, romance, these romance scammers are not picking on idiots. They are seeking people out who they know have a previous history probably of having a good nature and maybe are have a bit of money about them. And that's why they seek people out. It's incredibly dishonest, but there is a reason they continue to do it, is because it works.
Yeah. The two things I'd say, it plays on people's fear of people knowing that they were in the position of vulnerability in the first place. And then the second bit, that they got caught. And this is the oldest emotion. So credit card fraud is centuries old, well, at least a century. So the very first instance is supposed to have occurred in 1899. Oof. This is when the very early versions of credit cards were coming out. A farmer threw out his credit card, thought, what's this nonsense? He probably got given it. Mm. And a crook picked it up and used it to buy $25 worth of train travel. But what's interesting is that in this, I've just found this news clipping from... Where is this now? It's in the United States in 1899. The first ever case of credit card fraud occurred when a livestock man received a credit card from a transportation company, threw it out because he didn't want to use credit. Some scoundrel, as they say here, picked it up and then defrauded him for the grand total of $27, so $700 in today's money. The victim, in speaking about the matter yesterday, stated that the only thing that made him feel regret was the fact that while he was economizing by riding on streetcars, someone else had been riding on rubber tire hacks at his presence. So it was the idea of somebody else, like, you know, he's scrimping and saving,
yeah,
using streetcars, and somebody else is using new rubber tires.
And this also, as we just went back to 1899 there, but also the Nigerian prince email scam still gets $700,000 a year from Americans. Now, this is why we always say too that we need to look out for people who are not as digitally literate. I don't know. I remember years ago when eBay was first becoming a thing, my ma got an email from, I say this, eBay, in quote marks, asking for her PIN number for her credit card. My mom was like, do you think this is real? And I was like, 9. And I was like, I don't think so. But how are we supposed to know? Everything was so new. And because technology now is so new and AI is so, you know, that, like, remember that woman who thought she was talking to Brad Pitt?
Yeah.
And he was using AI video. So he was like saying her name and stuff. It was all very sophisticated. And I know people make a joke of these people, but like, if you're not that digitally literate and there's no one else around you to point it out, you can be totally taken in.
It, like, if you don't feel embarrassed about being burgled, you shouldn't feel embarrassed about being taken in this way, because the criminals in this case spend an awful lot more time thinking about how to get into your personal stuff than you think about protecting it, because that's their job. You've got another job and you spend your time thinking about that.
So I looked up previous Irish scams. Do you remember the Liberty Chart System and speedball schemes that swept Cork, Kerry and Clare?
No, what year was that?
In 2006, the Liberty Chart System and speedball scheme swept Cork, Kerry and Clare. In 2005, as investors, in quote marks, were persuaded to part with large sums of money. They were lured by promises of getting even greater sums of money by recruiting other investors. What does this sound like?
Yeah.
A pyramid scheme.
Yep.
Many were left empty-handed as the number of potential recruits dried up and the pyramid scheme collapsed. So as this began to happen around the three counties in Munster, the government launched a year-long blitz to educate the public about scams. From what I'm picking up here, this seems to be the first big scam that Irish people got caught up in. Gardaí, who investigated the Liberty and Speedball pyramid schemes, estimated that these investors at the bottom of the pyramid lost 20 million euro. Investors had handed up to 10,000 euro each to organisers with the promise that they would receive 80,000 in profits. Two of the pyramid schemes operated out of Germany, while another in County Meath was called People in Profit. Which originated in Malaysia. The way the schemes work meant that people who started them reaped all the rewards and leaving the new recruits to shoulder all the losses.
Have People Before Profit considered changing their name to People in Profit? Because
might be more attractive to capitalists.
Yeah, I mean, it's like saying all elements matter, people and profit.
Yeah. So Gardaí said that they were frustrated in tackling the scheme under existing trade and laws, as they lacked powers to search premises, make arrests and question people. And that is why the government reformed consumer laws and toughened up legislation in Ireland against to tackle cash only schemes. So there you are.
I didn't hear about that. 2006. What was I doing then? Maybe I was scamming people. I'm not sure. That's a good one, as they say.
And another large-scale fraud case that Ireland saw from around 2007 to 2010 saw one man steal over 200,000 euro in deposits from school students across 26 schools for their Debs dances, which he never booked with the hotels. He said that he was an independent Debs organiser. Sorry, that is so funny.
oh, thank God, an independent Debs organiser. I'm sick of the Debs multinationals sewing that, the Debs cartel.
He said he would collect money between 75 and 160 euro per student for a complete package, including venue, food and entertainment. He had organised events successfully in previous years, which built trust with the schools and the hotels, allowing him to gain such credit. The fraud began in 2006 in May, when he collected substantial sums from thousands of students and used the money for his gambling addiction and to pay off previous year's debts.
Gambling addictions.
The fraud was exposed when parents and students contacted the hotels to confirm arrangements to find no deposits had been paid. Hotels like Silver Springs and Rochestown Park stepped in to host the events at cost price to prevent the students from being completely let down. He was eventually sentenced to 5 years in prison in 2010 after pleading guilty to 35 sample charges of theft.
Oh, God. Oh, man. Yeah.
So there you are. People are just wanting to drink and nagging and get the shift. And that isn't that the purest thing an Irish child can do?
It's...
And you've taken that away from them.
And poor man with his gambling addiction. Fucking gamble. That does more damage, I swear. I never saw anyone drink a farm. They've gambled a farm, as they say.
Mm-hmm. You know, this is it. If you have any favourite Irish scam that you would like to, for us to talk about or we think we should mention, please get in touch.
In real life, my favourite, this wasn't a scam, but it was somebody door-to-door selling and... We have this very forbidding sign up saying, you know, no cold callers, no sales calls, which I feel bad about because it's often young people and it's their first job here and it might be their first job in the country. And sometimes they do knock on the door anyway, they ignore it. But the sign went up, no cold callers, and I opened the door, the doorbell rang, opened the door, and this woman was there. And I said, sorry, did you not see the sign? And she said, I'm not selling anything, I'm just looking for directions. And naturally predisposed to offer directions, even if I didn't know where she was going. She said, yes, do you know the way to our Lord Jesus Christ?
Oh, well done, so, Mrs.
Signed up for a 5-year direct debit to the Moonies. And yeah, it was very well done.
My ma was always too civil to tell the Mormons to go away. And she used to give off and she would like miss EastEnders.
Yeah,
because she was standing talking to them for ages.
You got Mormons.
Yeah, in Derry we get Mormons.
And not Jehovah's Witnesses. We get Jehovah's Witnesses as well.
But the Mormons always have suits on. You could tell the Mormons.
One other thing is not quite the same as scams, but it relates to passwords. One of my favourite slightly odd art exhibitions was by a guy called Aram Barthol in 2012-2013. It came to the Science Gallery in Trinity, the late lamented Science Gallery. We used to have a science museum in this country. We don't anymore. There's a brilliant one in Belfast. W5. Brilliant. And we should have one here. So in 2012, the social network LinkedIn.com was hacked and it lost its whole user database. 4.5 million LinkedIn passwords. And the artist Aram Barthol printed them all out, put them in 8 volumes. And exhibited them. And it is weirdly fascinating to read, look at other people's passwords. Because straight away you look for your own village,
password,
your own
road. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Well, there's a volume of those. Mm. But then you go, first of all, people had my password, as in, you know, my random word that is linked, like, you know, Rosebud in Citizen Kane style to a completely obscure childhood thing. I've already given it away. There was loads of people with that. But it's a random thing. It meant something else in some other language. But the funniest things was find your home village and then find the number of passwords that are I hate insert home village.
Oh, no way.
And they were either from the home village, I hate, I'm sick of being here. But it was like LinkedIn. Like, you know, thought leader going, I fucking hate Dripsy 832.
But no one would ever say that.
And then obviously, fuck you, fuck everybody, fuck all, you know, all of those.
I hate this fucking job.
I hate this job and company named. And then you just go for the absolute filth. And then you're like, you're learning. It's like a trip to Urban Dictionary to learn about the different ways in which that word can be used.
Yeah, your pastor probably tells you a lot about a person. That's us for this Chaser episode of A Few Scoops of Our Favourite Scams. If you have a scam or a topic that you would like us to do more in depth, please get in touch and let us know. You can DM me or Colm on Instagram, or you can email us to afewscoops@goloudnow.com. Next week, we will be off for the Christmas. Santa is coming. So we will have one bumper episode, a rundown of the year, to assist you in a very family-heavy holiday we have ahead.